We saw Hereditary this weekend, and we have a whole lot to talk about. Me and Carrie, we probably have an opinion different than Anthony. The new Halloween trailer came out this weekend, and as you can tell, I'm a little bit excited about it. We also have a Shape in the Room with us tonight. Also, the final season of Face Off. It's very sad, but we have a lot of Face Off people in here tonight to talk about. It's going to be a great show, guys.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
People. Some Face-Off survivors.
It's the survivor crew from Face-Off. All right, let's have some fun tonight. A lot of scary fun. So anyways, thank you guys for tuning in to Scare Guy Show tonight. We are going to have a lot of fun. We have a lot of people in here that it's making it hard to get everybody organized, but that makes it fun because everybody's full of so much energy tonight. So great to meet everybody. We're going to go around the table, introduce yourselves, and we are celebrating the final year of Face Off. Yay, sad face. But it's a little bit of both, but I'm so glad you guys could join us tonight. Also, we're going to talk about Hereditary, the film that we saw this weekend. And we're also going to talk about the trailer for Halloween, which I'm so excited about. My name is Jim. I'm the managing editor for The Scare Guy. Thank you for following us. Please like the show, follow us, do all that good stuff to make us go up in the rankings.
And my name is Carrie Lane, and I'm a host here at Popcorn Talk and After Buzz, as well as female. Filmmaker.
Yes, you are female.
Yes, I'm tired. It's been a long day.
I'm
happy here to talk about horror stuff because that's awesome.
My name is Kaylin Ashley. I was a Face-Off contestant and survivor from season 7 and All Stars 11.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Ben Cleaver. At Ben Cleaver online on all the interwebs. I'm an actor, writer, comedian, host, musician. Priest. I'm not a priest.
What don't you do?
Et cetera.
My appearance on the Scare Guy tonight is brought to you by piranhas. Piranhas. Damn, they're scary. Piranhas.
Who do we got on the couch today?
I am Cheeseman on the couch with thescareguy.com. I'm also watching you online. If you're watching, you can comment and ask us questions live on air.
That sounds creepy. I'm watching you.
Your plug just fell out of your computer.
Power cord just
and I'm unplugged.
This just became a horror movie. Hi, guys. I'm Keaton Markey. I worked on Face Off and have worked with both of these lovely people outside of Face Off as well. And thank you guys again for having me.
Glad to have you.
Happy to be back.
Hi, guys. I'm Jamie Avera. I'm an actor and writer and was also on Face Off.
And you are dressed tonight as?
The Shape.
Because, I hate it.
Because, Keaton, you just love horror movies, right?
Give me a kiss.
Because, Jamie, you are a fanatic, I guess that is safe to say, of Michael Myers.
Yeah, I'm a diehard fan after it scared the you-know-what out of me as a kid. And then I slowly turned the channel back on and started watching it and wanted to do it, you know, be it and do it and all that stuff and watch it every year about 5 times.
And we have so much to talk about tonight for – all we've seen is the trailer and we could talk – the entire show about the trailer is fantastic. I'm so excited about the trailer. Jamie gave me a gift. I have no idea what this is. Can I open it?
Yeah. I hope it touches your heart.
This is... that is... What is that?
It's a creature. It's a scary, scary creature.
It's a scary creature.
It's terrifying beast.
It's an AC monkey.
It looks like something I designed. Let's
bring googly eyes.
Fantastic. I'm going to keep
with the googly
that.
Eyes.
That is fantastic.
It's on my Etsy shop.
I would watch that character scary movie.
I would.
It'd be okay.
Now, wait a second. I have a quick question.
Yes.
So, color me green.
All right.
But I did not realize that Michael...
Green.
Yeah, I am. I did not realize Michael Myers in his... Michael Myers... not Mike Myers. Oh, baby. Michael Myers in the Shatner mask was called The Shape.
The Shape.
I did not realize that was the term.
It's written in the script. Whenever you see it, it's The Shape.
I did not know that.
Oh. Which is just awesome.
Wait, can I ask a question?
Yes.
Why is it called the Shatner mask?
Because
it was originally.
This is William Shatner's
face. Shatner mask. Shut
up!
Yes.
It was a Star Trek
mask. They cut the eyes out.
They opened up the eye holes, ripped out the hair, obviously painted it white, and kinked the hair here. And
back in the day when they had so much money, what was their budget? I think it was like
$300,000
on that film. So they had to make do with what they had, and that meant getting a William Shatner mask and painting it white.
Yeah, it was between this and a Red Skelton mask or some like a
that's
clown
right,
mask.
That's right, I remember that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was clown mask.
Yeah.
Learned
clearly, William
See?
Shatner was much scarier than a clown.
How does William Shatner feel about this?
I think, well...
Like, what, is there some statement? I feel there should be some statement.
I'm sure
he said
something.
Online,
yeah.
Somewhere, yeah.
What has he said about it?
Well, there's been like a kind of a battle for rights. So they've designed the mask, and it can't be exactly like...
Oh, to look less and less
mask,
like
yeah.
him.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. so they get away with it by doing, you know, certain changes to it. Yeah.
But this is the thing. Nobody would have ever known had they not been like, hey, funny story. Guess where we got the mask from? Like,
sure. Yeah.
Yeah, but somebody on that set would have, you know, got out and
no, that's what I'm saying. Sure. Like, it would have never, like William Shatner, you have a ton of money. Like, let it go, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell you what, since we're talking all Halloween stuff here, Anthony, could we go ahead and watch that trailer? Anthony?
Yes, please.
Or maybe we will...
Senor Tony?
I told you I thought my microphone was off. We do have the trailer keyed up and ready to go. Tell you what, let's...
He's
here we go.
He's off on a
here
smoke break.
He's got it.
Oh.
Nope.
So I think we need to talk. Oh, there we go. Talk over it.
Here we go.
Yeah, do we
the
talk over it?
The official trailer.
This is the official trailer for the brand new 2018 Halloween. Can
we
you
to
see?
Watch it here?
Are you guys watching it?
I hope so.
No,
I can see them. Well, it's right in your guys' heads.
But so we see...
Yeah, let's. Great idea. Let's go interview a serial killer.
I don't get what this is. This is like a bunch of reporters going to interview everybody about the Halloween massacre.
Yeah.
So this is also called Halloween, and it's a direct sequel to the original film, the
yes.
first one.
Yeah. Right.
Skipping over the rest of the Halloween
all
movies.
They're disregarding them completely.
So the real tragedy of which is disregarding all of the setup that was put into Halloween 3, but, Season of the Witch.
Right. What? Which is included in this film, this trailer, by the way.
Is it really?
Yes, I'll show you in a second. So here we are with Michael out in the middle of a courtyard of
sanitary.
Weird. What does
courtyard.
Michael look like?
You don't see him.
We don't see him. And I'm excited because it's Blumhouse. Okay, in just a second, we're going to see. So that was Laurie's granddaughter. And Jamie has some thoughts about that. He will give us in just 1 second.
It was not her brother. That's the main
it's not her brother. They're retconning that. And Laurie out in the woods.
What the hell did you do that for?
So I can kill him.
I like it.
It's weird seeing Jamie Lee Curtis with long hair.
I was going to say right. the same thing.
A little
thing.
Bit, yeah. I just wish she was my grandmother.
What'd you say?
I just wish she was my grandmother. Dude, all those prisoners, you should have hit them and kept driving.
This scene is truly unnerving.
Oh, yeah. I can't even. I was watching this in my
creepy.
Car by myself.
Now, is that a real thing they're retconning that he's not her brother, or was yes. she just saying, oh, that, you know. Like,
no, he's really not her brother. We'll talk about that
in
just 1 second.
Dentist.
But this is the scene where he walks in and drops teeth in over
yeah.
the top into a bathroom stall, the poor lady that's
never going to poop again.
Or a lot.
You know, I think Jamie Lee Curtis could give you some yogurt.
Oh, yeah.
Right there. That's the Halloween 3 mask.
Oh,
the shamrock mask.
That's fantastic. That's beautiful. I
yes.
love it when they do that.
This
I like how the trick-or-treaters are out.
Yeah, she's gonna shoot one.
That's a mirror.
That's a mirror.
Yeah.
Oh.
I didn't catch it the
it's
first
that
time.
House
I didn't
of Pasadena.
Mm.
And so here's a lot of Michael jumping around, and there's something about this I'm not...
You should.
Can you close the closet
door?
Oh, this.
Yeah, this
I can't.
Babysitters.
Look.
Yeah.
Back to the babysitters.
Doink. Yep.
Doink.
And trying
it's
to close
kind of
the
a 70s looking shirt.
There he
wearing.
Is.
Yeah.
All right. I
never trust a closet.
I love it. I love it. I love
nope.
it. I love it. I love
Michael
it.
Michael
comes
man.
Out of the closet.
But I would like to hear.
Apropos for
we're
going
to jump to us in just a second. You guys. Okay, wait. Carrie, what do you think?
I'm actually not super versed in the Halloween universe, but I think it looks very exciting. I've seen, I think, just the first one. I don't think I saw it. Any of the other ones.
I guess that's all you need
so
to see.
So that doesn't really matter. But from hearing discussion of what people have said about where they're taking it, it does sound really interesting to be like, let's pretend those other ones didn't exist. And this is later in time, so it's not like we're remaking it.
It's 40 years
no,
later,
time
yeah.
has passed. And the idea of, yeah, journalists starting it, gosh, man, they gotta dig shit up. but, like, that seems a logical way to bring it back in without being... stupid of like wait why are we back
yeah what would you guys
I kind of I'm into it I feel like it does develop a lot of the tone from the original like that
mm-hmm.
kind of slow build and that slow mm-hmm. kind of creep factor which I've always been a fan of so
yeah. I'm excited I've always liked the Halloween movies they you know they
Especially the ones with Busta Rhymes.
Right. Well, I was going to say, the trick concept, or treat, mother. This concept, yeah, this concept where they're like, oh, it's, we fast forward and now it's, however, how many years is it since 40? The first one? 40 years?
Yeah.
Because they kind of did that with H2O. They were like, now it's 20 years later and he's back again. But then that was keeping the rest of the canon in time because there was Halloween 1, Halloween 2. Season of the Witch was part of the whole thing where they were trying to diversify the Halloween title and bring in different stories. Was there another one then?
Halloween 4.
Halloween 4. Right.
I liked Halloween. Well, which I liked it back when it first came out and then I saw it recently and it's like, it doesn't really hold up.
Well, because Halloween 4 introduces Danielle Harris's character.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Who's the niece.
Right. But yeah, and so then H2O was kind of that same concept, but I like that.
I need to interrupt you just for a second. Should I?
Some people are commenting they're not seeing the live stream yet.
Mr. Producers, the live stream is not up yet, and people are commenting online. So Luke, want to be
the internet
along.
Is a rage.
Yeah, okay. That's on YouTube.
Our mothers are all pissed.
Okay, all right.
Okay,
back on you.
Sorry,
it's YouTube's fault.
Not wrong.
It is.
I'm just
YouTube's
interested to
fault.
Read up because of all the lore that they established in the ensuing films after the first one. You know what they're taking directly, and the whole like retconning that he's not her brother. It's a little disappointing to hear, but I'm sure they have a good reason.
Keaton.
Full disclosure, I've never seen Halloween because I am terrified.
Why is she even here?
But I have to say I got a chance to interview Jamie Lee Curtis on a red carpet for
that's why she's here.
Yeah, that's why I'm here. For when she came to see a documentary called Jane that Nat Geo put on, and it's so cool to me that she's stepping back into this role, regardless of whether I've seen the original or not. And she was so excited to do it too. Aww. And so to see her do this and to see this kind of story continue, because I know how many people do really love this story. It's just not my cup of tea, guys. But I'm very excited for all my friends who do love it, and I'm excited for Jamie Lee Curtis because she's a rock star.
Geez, do you have anything to say before we jump to Jamie, who I know
has... Well, the good news is that because of the way they're doing it, you only need to see the original and then this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're just ignoring
you're right.
Everything
I only
else.
Have to put myself through 4 hours of pure torture.
I think we'll have a viewing party. We will have a viewing party for Halloween. Definitely get ready for that.
Do you want to just like film me like watching South it?
Yes.
Do a live stream, and then we can do a tour by the house.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. The house is near here?
That's
you can drive by.
Okay, if you guys want to introduce me to the world of Halloween, I have
it. There's one in Pasadena, and then there's one in Hollywood.
Come over, girl. I have VHS.
The last couple years, the actual Michael Myers house, they've made into like an exhibit, so they've had like art and kind of like what Creature Features
is. It's right behind there at the Sugar Mint Gallery.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like we have a video that we put together with him as the shape with all the different spots of Halloween that we would on filming. It was really great.
Yeah.
The other thing that's kind of fun now is it becomes a choose your own adventure. You can watch the first one and then you can go off to the sequels, or you can watch the first one and go off to this, or you can watch the first one then just watch the Rob Zombie ones.
No, never watch those. Sorry.
Also, a side note of it, just based on your comment of like, you know, talking to her now, I think it's great too that we're featuring a older leading lady as like still badass too.
Yeah.
Because how many have that? She's not 20 something, not even 30 something. And she's still so cool.
She's 60-something.
Yeah.
I love it.
So that's awesome.
Kind of like Three Billboards did so well.
Yeah.
And so it's great to see kind of...
All I know, if you were to piss my like mother, who's a 60-something lady, she'd be right there, too.
She's kind of like how she was in H2O, but now she's a little older.
Yeah.
She's strong and willing to fight.
A little less traumatized.
I want to hear what Jamie...
I am excited about this. I like the trick-or-treating type shots and him walking around... within that. And I was talking about on the way over, it'd be cool if they did cameos of the original kids.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's almost like they're going around interviewing people about that night because they went to Michael, kind of like, we're investigating this. And looks like they're talking to Jamie Lee Curtis's character, Laurie, about her experience. So it'd be interesting if they go around and kind of ask the kids.
Kyle Richards. Richards on there. You know, she was the original.
Housewives, right?
Yeah, she's one of the housewives. And now she was Lindsay in the original. That would be cool.
I want adult Tommy.
She's in there. I bet you any amount of
why would she? Be,
you would
know?
Think, right? Yeah.
Well, I know that they've like put so much love into the making of this new movie that I'm sure there's going to be a lot of Easter eggs that we're going to have to look out for.
Yeah.
Easter eggs.
Jeremy, I want to know what you feel.
There's one of them. I liked it. I think the first and foremost, the mask had to be on point, and everybody involved that was doing the mask, like, huge fans and knows the mask inside and out. After that, I think it was about tone, like Kaylin said, like it's just got to feel like the same movie, the same night, you know. Yeah. Well, not the same night, but the same just vibe, you know, his walk and everything. There are little things that I was like, I'm a little concerned about, but I got to say overall, I'm like, I'm pretty hopeful because it looks fun. Not to be negative, but I love Halloween 1 and 2. In fact, I like 2 as much as 1.
Ooh, that's a bold statement.
You watch that 5 times a year, too?
I do, man. Yeah. No joke. I literally just watched Halloween 2 last night.
The cool thing about it is,
I swear to God.
It's a continuation of that same storyline. Yeah. Which is what makes it awesome. Night, right? Yeah. Like, just a little bit later in the hospital, which makes it awesome.
Yeah, I had a harder time. I have to be careful, because I think most of us know people that like worked on the different films and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I just preferred H1 and H2, the original. Mm-hmm. I did like Halloween 4 when it came out, but then later on I kind of thought,
it didn't hold up, but I did like it.
And some of the masks to me got a little wonky.
So you're a critic,
like part 6.
A critic of the masks. You know the masks, right?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's such a big thing, like,
mm-hmm. cuz like sometimes the eye holes got too big. Right?
Sometimes there was one that I'm not going to name, but the forehead like started back here.
Just name it. Which one was that? Nobody cares.
Do it.
Halloween 6.
H2O?
No.
6 was
6.
Yeah. Which one was H2O if you were just numbering them? That was number 7?
6, and then there was I think that actually was H2O, yeah.
And then so
and then there was Resurrection.
Being the super fan, or the anybody chime in for Halloween super fans. I was hearing some other friends talk about one, they weren't thrilled. They thought it was dumb. They're like, why are they putting all these prisoners on the same bus to transport them exactly at the same time?
Yeah.
No kidding. Also commenting like essentially Jamie Lee Curtis' character sees the bus. It's like, well then how do you know and stuff and
yeah.
The logic of all the prisoners together, I'm like, yeah, that's a good point. Why all at the same time?
I agree. I don't think I was 100% in love with the big courtyard scene. That just seemed
Well, is that a real thing they do to people?
It was very much a
style choice. Yeah, that looks very visual. Sure.
I was gonna say, it's pretty.
Like, stylistically, I thought it was really cool.
I was to
B5.
Yes. I don't know.
That, yeah, apparently it had something to do with, like, Freemason days or something like that, but I don't know how.
No, that. What are you talking about?
Talking about the checkerboard chessboard kind of thing?
Oh, that was a Freemason design choice, huh?
Something. Like, I haven't looked it up, but
maybe there's something in the film about it. Maybe it's part of the psychological whatever they do to the prisoners.
Yeah.
And I also didn't like, I was noticing, like, in H2O, there was the scene of he gets out, he goes to the bathroom stall and terrorizes the lady in the bathroom stall and drives off.
Yeah.
In the zombie film, there was the bathroom stall. He goes and terrorizes a girl in the bathroom stall.
Yeah,
I see. He's the big trucker guy.
He's got to go too.
Yeah,
he's got to go too.
And then there's this one. He comes and drops the teeth over the bathroom. I don't like to repeat the same scene over and over.
Yeah, I'm a little worried that like some of that'll be cool, like the homages and stuff like that. But if it's too many, then you kind of feel like taking you out of the movie.
And I do want to see people alone with Michael instead of it looks a whole lot of groups of people fighting Michael in the trailer, like a Jamie Lee Curtis rounding everybody up, run and let's fight them. I don't want to see that. I want to see like him creeping and killing babysitters.
It's also hard. Like
I know, I'm so heartless.
With trailers, though, it's always so hard to glean.
Yeah. You never know with trailers. Yeah. That's true.
Because they could also be using stuff that's not even in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Or dream sequence.
Exactly.
Out of context.
Hopefully no white horses.
Yes.
I know.
You never know. I mean, Hulk.
The physical manifestation of his internal monologue.
What's your name? Moon Zappa?
They lie.
No, Sherry Moon.
Sherry Moon.
Moon Zappa.
Frank Zappa's dog.
I'm super stoked to see it. It comes out October 18th, I think.
19th.
Right?
But maybe 18th.
This is Thursday night.
Yeah.
What did you think, Anthony?
Sorry. What's going on?
What did you think of the
Halloween
trailer? It looks interesting. I actually really enjoyed the courtyard scene. It gives it such a weird, grimy sort of vibe to it. It's a great tone setter for mm-hmm. the whole film. I am not well versed in the Halloween universe.
You will be by October 19th.
We got some time.
I mean, it's cool. It's had like 10,000 films, and some have been bad, some have been good. I know the first one's a huge classic with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm more excited for Suspiria coming out. To be honest, if there's a reboot, yeah. I'm more excited for it. Suspiria's got me.
Didn't you just watch that again this week? Did you watch it this weekend?
I saw the trailer for it. Oh, the trailer. I'm a avid fan of Suspiria. I love Suspiria.
Wait, I thought we were talking about Halloween.
We are, okay. Anthony. Yeah. I know that Anthony loves kidding. The first Suspiria film, right?
Yeah. No. Yeah. It's a masterpiece. Yeah.
Oh, somebody I work with, he watched the original Suspiria film this weekend because we were watching the trailer at work, and he's like, "Oh, I'm going to go watch it." Mad Max, who also went to see Hereditary, which we're going to talk about in just a second as well. Anyways, somebody was talking though about they did not like the fact that they retconned that. By when we say retcon, yeah. That means they changed the history of he's no longer the brother. And who was that?
I don't know how I feel about that either.
I mean, for me, I don't know. Maybe it's just because that's always been kind of the cornerstone for this.
That's all we've known. Yeah.
That's all we've known. He's her brother. And, you know, part of that is that's part of the reason he wants to kill her or, you know, and whatever. But then going back and just saying, well, he's not her brother. I mean, they better have a really good reason,
why?
You know, to say that. That's what I'm saying. They better have a really good reason.
That could have been something they honestly just put in the trailer to, like, get people.
I would love
to get people up in arms.
Because
like,
it was just the dog, one of the friends is saying, oh, that's just a story they made up.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, yeah, it could be very well, like, the mythology kind
family
of
secret
yeah.
or
so
something.
So there could be that Darth Vader moment, like, where she realizes.
That would be dope.
Jamie, I am your brother.
Because apparently Carpenter wrote the sequel, like furiously, and he was drinking a lot. And I think he might have regretted the whole sister thing, but mm-hmm. I feel like it makes sense. And it's not like he's just going to focus on her. Everybody in the path is
going to. From what I understand, though, they are going out of their way to make this feel like the original film. Yeah. In the original film, there was no family bond, and that's kind of what they're going for. In the original film, Michael Myers was just the shape who could just kill anybody at random. He was killing babysitters. It didn't matter if you were related or not. You got killed if he saw you on the street that night. Whereas in the films that followed, he was always after somebody. Like so, you if you were in his way to getting that other person. So they thought it might feel scarier if it was just random violence instead of planned violence.
I think it's still random, even despite the relationship. I think it's still there.
I think it does. It gives it a nice motive to have him going, at least having an ultimate goal of I want to get her.
Yeah.
But it also, I think, gives, I mean, for somebody who hasn't seen them, it to me, like having some type of family bond, I think raises the stakes for the person being chased a little bit because I think, obviously if something's out to kill you, you're going to try to kill them back. But if it's somebody related to you, there's a lot more emotion
But it also goes back to the opening scene of Halloween 1, where he kills his sister. Like, for whatever reason, and he's got this kind of resentment towards her. Maybe it was the sex thing. But either way, like, it seems to make sense with what the first frames of the original movie,
Yeah.
Also, I don't know if this is fair to say, realization, but, like, doesn't he mainly kill women?
Like, when the first movie killed 3 women and 1 man.
Hashtag time's
up. 2 men.
Okay. Because, and also initially kills his sister, too, so it's like, maybe it's like a mom thing, who knows?
I think it's kind of indiscriminate.
Is it H2O where he squeezes the guy's head?
No.
He picks the guy up and just squeezes his head.
I really like
Game of Thrones style?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Because he's always been, like, just this hulking, like, stabbing someone into a wall, stabbing someone into a door, like, keeping them dangling. Like,
yeah.
And staring at them.
And I think, on a side note, I think the reason they didn't do Jamie Lee's hair shorter, which I think I wanted them to do that. I know that's a very random thing I'm not griping about it. But I think they did that to distance from H2O. Because that's the look she has.
And,
I can see that.
And to make her look like the same character.
More like Laura,
her hair is long in the longish in the first one.
Right. Yeah. It's just interesting. And did you notice the song she was singing in this trailer?
Yes. Yeah.
And you recognize it was the song that she was singing from the original movie when she was walking by herself home. A lot of people didn't recognize the song.
There's a lot of details in the trailer that like you had to watch the second time. Like the specifically with the mask, there's actually the screwdriver mark in the mask.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone posted it on my wall like recently. recently. I was like, oh, I didn't that even one. Notice that.
See yeah. that, Keaton?
I thought I was wondering what was wrong with your mask.
But no, it's an intentional like added thing from the original.
I will say though, when that piano riff starts playing.
Oh, that one. That's awesome.
That gets me excited.
We're going to have to move on, guys, but we're going to have a special.
Can we come back and just do a Halloween show?
Yes. The answer is yes.
Yes.
I want to many see times it now. Yes.
Wait, can we do like a Halloween 1 show and then a Halloween 2 show?
As soon as we're done with this thing called Comic-Con, we're going to head straight into a whole lot of Scare Guys. So
awesome.
We're going to have a lot of fun. Anyways, we're going to move on. Moving on. Just real quick, I'm going to get through some things before we hit.
Jim, may I name the horror events when we get to that part? Or do you want to?
No, I would love for you to do that. I just want to say, though, we have 4 months and 2 weeks until Halloween.
Yes.
Which means we have 4 months until Halloween.
Jeez.
No, 4 months and 1 week. When is the 18th? Anyway, about 4 months until the movie comes out. So I am going to be counting the days. We'll put a countdown clock on the
website. I'm already prepping for Halloween.
Yes. Are you really?
Yeah, of course.
You know what's strange? It's not strange, but I found like here in Los Angeles, people like prep for Halloween mm-hmm. like almost all year long.
Well, I already had a client hit me up about doing Halloween makeup on the day of, and I'm like,
fantastic.
What kind?
Speaking of Halloween, I just wanted to very quickly, Halloween Horror Nights, which is one of my favorite events of the year. The one in Orlando is my absolute favorite. The one out here in California and at Hollywood is also fantastic. And also last year, Knott's Berry Farm. Have you heard of any announcements yet from Knott's Berry?
No, not yet.
They're kind of quiet, but I know that in Florida, this is for the first time in 28 years, this is the 28th anniversary of the event at Orlando Studios in Florida. They're going to have 10 houses. It's the most they've ever had.
Oh my God.
10 haunted houses in one location. They're going to have three of them have been revealed so far. Patient Zero, Trick or Treat. Oh, have you guys seen Trick or Treat?
Oh, it's one of my favorite movies.
Yes.
Yes.
It's one of my favorite
classic.
Like,
yeah, I think they're going to have
so
it out here
good.
As well.
So good.
Yeah, so Trick or Treat and Stranger
Things. I have a Sam poster.
They are.
And Stranger Things.
I'm so excited for Stranger Things.
Yeah.
I sculpted a little Sam magnet for my con.
So then they're going to have five scare zones, and one of them is going to be inspired by an 80s vampire New Year's Eve party or something like that, which
cool.
sounds kind of cool.
I'm about that life.
That's random, but I love it.
And then there's the Twisted Traditions at Central Park and the Harvest.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to let you know, by the way, real quick, Spirit, you know the Spirit Halloween stores? They announced today, or this week, that they are going to be selling the Michael Myers animatronic figure for $259.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's awesome. Ben, what kind of events do we have coming up?
Well, let's see, Jim. June 15th through 17th, Scarecon New England in Framingham, Massachusetts.
That's how you say it, Framingham.
Is that right?
Yes.
Framingham.
You know the guys who used to do the guys who used to do Ghost Hunters on Sci-Fi Network? Mm. They have a radio show they do now, and they're big sponsors of this event. So
Taps.
Wow. Yeah, yes. Taps.
The Atlantic Paranormal Society. I believe the T was for the.
We need to do a show with those guys.
We should.
That would be cool, a ghost hunter.
I got another friend who was
on
Ghost Hunters.
We should go on a ghost hunter.
I've done it. The pass in Pasadena.
Have you really?
The gate to hell, yeah.
Oh.
What?
Yes, there's a gate to hell in Pasadena.
When?
They give you a tour of it at nighttime.
If you'd like to go to hell, please report to Pasadena.
It's super cool.
It just reminds me of Troll Hunters, because like Tales from Arcadia, because it's kind of in Pasadena.
Oh my God, you're amazing.
I love Troll Hunters.
It's amazing. Have you seen the third season?
Okay.
Anyways, we'll talk.
Sidebar.
June 22nd through 24th, Days of the Dead in Indianapolis.
Oh, that one's fun.
Not to be confused with Dia de los Muertos.
Our friends Jake and Lisa are going to that one.
There you go. June 22nd and 23rd, Premier Haunted Attractions Tour and Education Series.
That sounds so boring, but good.
The Headless Horseman Maze and Seven Haunted Attractions in Ulster, New York.
No, it's really cool. It's like a...
Thanks, Jim. We just lost five viewers.
It's an education weekend that takes you through all these haunted mazes and things and teaches you how to do them. I think it sounds fantastic.
Sounds
cool.
You know, The Legend of Sleepy Hollow is one of my absolute favorite, like Halloween, like spooky stories.
Mm-hmm.
I love Sleepy Hollow too. The Johnny Depp movies.
Oh yeah. Oh.
Yes, so good.
I really wanted Chris Walken to talk as the Headless Horseman. I'm the Headless Horseman. Anyway,
without a mouth.
I'm very scary.
The sharp teeth.
July 26th through 29, Hollywood Horror Fest Film Festival, accepting submissions through Film Freeway.
So for those who are doing short horror films, they are now accepting for here in Hollywood.
We should do one.
Okay.
Right. I want it.
Done.
I know, done. Me too.
All right, you're in.
We're going to win.
July 28th through 29 as well. Well, this is 28th, not 26th. 28th through 29, Midsummer Scream in Lengthy Beach, California.
Oh, I'm doing a demo there.
Excuse me,
are
Long
you really?
Beach, yeah. California.
They've really got a huge convention this year down there.
Yeah, it's gotten really big.
What's it called? The Hall of Shadows is where they're doing all their haunted mazes and things. Mm-hmm. And they've got a lot going on.
Yeah, I'll be with Hollywood Makeup Academy doing a demo for them.
Oh, nice.
Fantastic. Sweet. Sunday?
What are you doing?
I don't know yet. Oh. Cool. Something monster, usually.
Nice.
August 25th and 26th, Scare LA at the Los Angeles Convention Center.
Are you doing them?
I should be.
You should be.
I did the Spookeasy for them last year for their after party design.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And they're doing like the LA Convention Center, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's all in darkness this year. And it's going to be lit as if it's like a haunted house when you're
everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be
lit. The entire convention center.
Oh, I hate that. I'm doing makeup. Yeah.
No, but your booth, you light it. Every booth gets the
lights
light
it
however you want.
You get your floodlights.
I'm bringing
going.
All of the lights then.
Right.
She's going to light the whole convention hall.
I mean, lighting in conventions is always terrible doing makeup, so that sounds awful.
And finally on the list, September 14th through 16th, Scarefest Horror and Paranormal Convention in Lexington, Kentucky.
Fantastic.
Isn't that the same weekend of Monsterpalooza?
Yeah.
Son of Monsterpalooza.
Shoes.
Yep. So we will get to that one soon. You do that one, I'm sure.
Usually, yeah.
Yeah. Do you guys do Son of Monsterpalooza?
Mm-hmm. I do both.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Son and...
I demo...
And dad, I guess. What do you call it?
Just the OG.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's Monsterpalooza and Son of... Yeah.
Monsterpalooza
a bitch.
OG.
So let's... before... We are going to jump into Face Off because I'm super excited to talk to you guys about that. You guys have some definite feelings on that. But first of all, we did advertise. We're going to talk about this little movie that came out this weekend. Hereditary.
Oh, I want to see it.
Whoa.
He's been waiting on
somebody
that.
Has feelings Whoa. About it already.
No, that's not Anthony's feelings.
He's the opposite of that.
Oh, okay.
By the way, just so everybody knows, Hereditary is a film that made a splash at the Sundance Film Festival. You were there, Carrie. You were hearing all the buzz about it, and we were asking you about it. And it's been called by some people who like to hype things, the scariest movie ever.
Don't listen.
Modern day Exorcist.
No.
Don't trust that ever.
The most horrifying film you'll ever see.
Why I don't believe is it that so ever. Scary? Like, what's like the concept?
I want to know when
will
I
tell
saw
you.
It.
Okay, let's... Okay, Anthony.
Spoiler alert.
Okay,
can we roll that?
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, that's enough.
No, that's good enough.
That's good enough.
So, before we jump into this, may I make a very small public service announcement? Some people didn't like this film, and some people did like this film, and that's okay.
Thank you. That is fantastic.
You don't have to insult each other's heritage and mothers on the internet because you didn't feel the same way about a movie.
I dare you. My mom Thank would kick you. Your ass.
Yes. Well, Tony will speak his opinion on it as well. But I definitely 100% agree with him. The film was poorly advertised, saying it's this super scary movie.
Greatly advertised because it made $13 million.
For failure.
So you don't think it was scary?
Not at all.
Really? But not like horror creature, just not scary.
Correct. Is it like slasher or is it like more thriller? What's the concept?
Slow burn.
It's smart.
Super slow burn.
Yeah.
I would tell people that it's a slow burn movie. Don't go in going, I'm going to be super scared. It is more psychological thriller in terms of it's messing with what's going on in your mind and what you think is happening and what really is happening. And there are some amazingly awesome, disturbing visuals. I will give it that. But as I'm sitting there...
Most people find terrifying.
slower.
What do you find?
Slower than the Babadook.
I didn't like Babadook more.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
So, hey, Anthony. There's a couple more of us in the room that are going to come from Carrie's perspective.
I wish we never saw it.
We would love to hear your perspective on the film.
Tony, you go first.
I don't want to be the spokesperson of the guy that only liked this film, to be honest with you.
No, you're not the only one in the country that liked the film.
Yeah, plenty of people liked it.
It made $13 million
They did well. I was listening online on the radio, and they were definitely like, no, it did well for a first-time director. Yep.
It's a 96% on Rotten Tomatoes right now.
Yeah, I heard just performance.
No, I'm sorry, 93%.
Like, I forget her name. Toni Collette. Thank you. But like, people were like, she deserves an Oscar for this
film. Was amazing. Oh,
she was amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
She was amazing.
Her commitment to it.
Which I love her as an actress
good.
Anyway.
She's really good.
You're worried and stressed for her. Like, there's a scene towards the end with her and her husband. And I'm just like, oh, I just feel exhausted for you as an actor of like, having to be at that like 1,000% so much.
She was 1,000% like the whole movie almost, except for at the very beginning when she was very restrained at the funeral of her mother. And just a little bit of backstory without being too spoiled. It was a movie about loss. It was a movie about grieving.
Grief and family.
Grief and like and the terrible things. But her grief was grief upon grief because she was grieving for her mother who she had lost, and it sounded like she never knew her mother very anyways.
Yeah.
And then there was another member of the family who had perhaps the single most traumatic moment in the movie.
It was the only time I've been in the theater I actually put my hand over my mouth when it happened.
Oh, I was watching with Cheeseman and he gasped at the there was a scene I would say it was horrific. It was a horrific tragedy scene that...
Trigger warning?
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Carrie's a little bit... I think you're more battle-hardened to horror than I am. I really do. Because
And I'm like, actually, we're not doing too many spoilers. We're doing a good job. And the NPR story I was hearing about, I'm like, no, they didn't talk about that moment. But there's a moment where it's one of those... I saw it... where it was going to go, but how it happened was like, man, it's it's tragic. It's very disturbing. And the fact that they don't show you a lot is what is
I prefer, going back to the Babadook, I would have liked that movie had they never shown it. The minute you saw that creature, I was like, oh.
They never show the creature.
No, you see it.
In the Babadook, he's on the ceiling.
Wait. Well, you still see him enough. Like, I'm like,
let's just say
I would like it better if that were true. But the short film's better.
I'm gonna couple of spoilery things. And just warning, these are spoilery things.
Spoilers.
Spoiler.
The grief of losing your daughter in Toni Collette just absolutely.
Oh, she was so good.
To me, was more gut wrenching almost than any of the quote unquote horror elements.
Yes.
Was just watching her lose her daughter. And then.
Can I just talk about that?
Yes.
Because that scene in particular is what broke my back. Like that scene is horrifying to me. It's terrifying.
Yeah.
Her screams still echo within my mind. I sobbed. I openly sobbed next to. I went to go see it with Steven on the Thursday night, and I openly sobbed next to him because of
Steven told us
because of Toni Collette's powerful performance of that scene. Yeah. I felt her pain.
I did too.
Yeah. And her pain became my pain, and I cried. Oh, and I cried, and I've never cried that much in a film before. The fact that you can have a person on screen, knowing that in your mind, yes, this is all fake, but when you hear that scream, you hear that you hear that bloody murder, that pain, that raw humanness in a film, that's fucking magic. That's the moment I knew this was a fantastic film.
We get to.
A little bit. What's the monster in this?
The monster is grief. No, but there was...
it's the mother. Crier, so... Yes.
I guess you...
There is a...
The monster is bad communication between the family, and that is what inevitably leads the family to implode upon itself because they can't communicate
with
each other.
Also known as a mother-in-law.
Waka waka.
There are those realistic things, and then they add these other supernatural bits, but that's what almost detracts, because then you're like, let's just throw things in there.
That's what Carrie said. Like, she had the opinion that
they're just kind of being weird to be weird at the very end.
We're in spoiler zone now, so we can talk. There was a cult. There was a cult that did...
Which you kind of know that for a long time, though.
The hereditary aspect, what is passed on, the grandmother was part of a cult. And they were trying to basically bring about a demon king. It was a very... for those who are... It was By the way, this ended... The movie ended worse than that. Like, if that unsettled you, this movie was even worse.
Wait, which movie?
Rosemary's Baby.
That was not...
I loved Rosemary's Baby.
I think Rosemary's Baby was amazing.
Yes, so. I love
Rosemary's
Baby. I
do hate, though, when they do promos where, like, this is the scariest thing in the world. Horrible. I'm like, all right, well, now I'm not going to be scared because I'm expecting to be scared.
It made The Quiet Place not as good for me because they hyped it up so much.
Yeah,
so
well, the other thing,
Signs is better, but it was still a good film.
Yeah, Signs is good.
It wasn't as good as the hype, though.
We talked about, we have a show here, Horror Movie News, and we watched a movie called The Ritual, and that one has a bizarre gathering, shall we say, which was more disturbing when you first see that compared to in Hereditary. Like, that one is just because you're like, what is going on? Like, it's even more just weird because it's the middle of nowhere. But this one, you're just like, but why?
I don't know.
there are things that...
Oh. Cheeseman, I want to know your opinion on this film because you... Tell me, what was your opinion?
But, I mean, so much of it was done... The acting was good, the cinematography.
Oh, cinematography's gorgeous.
Yeah.
But it was just, like, too much of it was just too disturbing. Like, I walked out, like, feeling I had, like, just, like, witnessed, like, a horrible thing. And I was, like, walking around, like, barely able to make eye contact with people.
Your exact words were, I feel like I just stepped on my friend's pet hamster, and it's still stuck on my shoe.
Isn't that amazing, though?
Wow. No, Anthony, that's not.
No, I think it's amazing you felt that, though.
Yeah.
And that's great if a film can make you feel
exactly.
that.
I had to do everything I could to get my mind off of it quickly.
As an actor, though, that's a great thing.
Did you feel like it was warranted, though?
No. Let me give my opinion. I haven't given it yet. I thought it was done expertly. It was very clever. It had a lot of stuff I really liked. For example, I liked the way that they had a lot of the scenes of when you first walk into a room and it's dark, and it slowly, you can start to slowly see the things in the room. And once you start seeing the things in the room, those were a couple of the super creepy scenes.
That was terrifying.
That was a terrifying.
Yeah.
But the smiles in the darkness.
But I must say, I think it was a lot of skilled people made a film that I personally, this is my personal opinion, find vile and disgusting to the point of I did not enjoy a single second in the theater.
More vile than Mother?
It was that kind of vile for me. It was just like...
Oh, I will never see this.
I love Mother.
See?
I love Mother.
You're disturbed.
I don't know if that, as a moviegoer, I want to go into a movie
it was vile.
Feel like that. Like, my kind of cup of tea horror is like slasher. Where I'm like,
I love slasher films. I grew up loving horror. I love horror movies.
Same.
Can you elaborate a little on your use of the term vile? Because I'm not... clear.
Vile is
like he was offended by it.
No, I wasn't offended. I didn't find it offensive. I found it vile in that it felt like this was filled up with black pus from somebody dying and I dumped it over my head. That's what I felt like at the end.
Yeah, I had several friends come out of it saying, like, I just felt yicky.
Because, for example, there are scenes...
I felt underwhelmed.
For example, the scene when a certain character saws her own head off with a piano wire and it rolls around just so that her body can float up and bow down to the king... that the demon king with the other headless bodies and, oh, the little daughter's head just happens to be stuck up here filled with maggots and we're going to... Every part of that scene just disgusted me and
that sounds pretty vile.
It felt...
Yes. Yes.
And it's not one of those you need an explanation for everything.
And I'm sorry,
most horror movies you don't get explanations.
It's the opposite of the feel-good movie of the year.
But why? Because if that scene, I almost thought, I'm like, oh, is she doing that to protect everybody? It's like, no.
I wanted to see, you know what... Here's why I didn't like it. I didn't see... There was not a single character that triumphed about anything. Like, I usually like horror movies because somebody can, like... There's a little glimmer of...
A redeeming factor.
Yeah. Something.
No, it just sucks to be you. Wrong place, wrong time.
Oh, yeah.
The naked old people were happy at the end.
But, you know that... Yeah. The cultists.
But see, then I like the... But then I just think of the cult ones where, you resurrected this thing and then it kills you all anyway. So I'm like, are you sure that was a good idea?
I know.
And then all your friends just died. So I honestly
don't think that works against the film, though.
No, but it just makes me like,
I do think this film will have its fans. It's definitely...
It sounded very dividing as far as...
Yeah. Did you guys like The Witch?
It's just like The Witch.
One of our panelists on another show, Box Office Breakdown, said similar vibe. Which I'm really curious to go see that now, too. Yeah. Like, all right.
You haven't seen The Witch?
I have not either, but most people I talked to today said it was like The Witch, but they liked The Witch.
I almost saw The Witch, and I hate horror movies.
Yeah. I liked it a lot more than The Witch, to be honest with you.
Really?
Yeah.
I think it was a lot smarter film than The Witch.
Okay.
It ends in a very similar fashion. But it's definitely more visceral, and it works on so many layers.
It's more visceral than this.
Period piece, yes?
It works on so many layers. Yeah, it's like
Protestant
time.
See, that's almost
time.
More of a win for me. I'm like, cool, it's weird. They really don't know what's going on in their world.
Just very quickly, though.
Don't come tomorrow.
The things that were kind of.
We're doing the horror movie news tomorrow. We'll see what our third member
battle more like. Not just kidding.
I want you guys to elaborate because we're not going to be able to
for
tonight.
All the like bashing. Essentially, we're doing it is a well-made film. Yes. The acting's
off the charts.
Off the charts. Cinematography is great. There are some superb, disturbing visuals that you're like, all right, cool. I'm glad you guys were able to create that and make people uncomfortable. They did their job. As a entertaining movie, regardless of horror or whatever genre, drama, family falling apart, it's a hair lacking and you're just not as engaged. The family's a little hard to connect to.
I think it's a whole head of hair lacking.
And it's a little... underwhelming, but then I think if you know that going in, you might appreciate it more.
Yeah, I agree. And you know what? Because I will have to say that I judge this by the criteria I have for seeing movies. I can put up with a lot. I love horror films, but I have to at least enjoy it.
Yes.
To enjoy it. And this one, I tried to because I loved the hype
too.
Of it.
I was like, at the end, like the last 10, 20 minutes, I'm like, oh, if they do something really like, whoa, and redeem all that, I will be so impressed.
Yeah.
That denial.
Like, I was thinking, like, we were talking today.
So, cleanser afterwards.
Yeah.
Cleanser,
give me something amazing. Knock it out of the park.
Three hazies at the Glendale Tap.
Yeah.
Three hazy beers.
I was planned for a palate cleanser, though, for sure.
Well, I think what you're touching on is particularly as an American audience, but I think just as humans, we need something, we need that glimmer of victory or justice or hope or something at the end.
I'm okay with everything going to shit and nobody succeeding, though, but it needs to be like...
If there's a purpose, though.
Justified.
Yeah.
Or it needs to be completely obliterated.
What do you mean by that? Like, if it's justified, it's a film. Like,
But Anthony, like you said, that like, the guy... I said I felt like I was sitting in pus and nastiness.
You felt like it was over the top.
And Anthony, you said that he succeeded. I guess my question is, he succeeded at what? What is the purpose of the film?
Of making you feel uncomfortable. Of making you feel like you don't want to be there and you're still looking at the screen.
Then why did I pay money to be there?
Because people want to feel uncomfortable. Because people are too comfortable in their regular lives and their drabness of everyday lives.
I disagree with that.
Okay. I'm not comfortable in my everyday
life. You know what, Anthony? And I'm going to say, there was one amazing scene in there when the little girl was suffering from peanut allergies and she could barely breathe and she was trying to... That's kind of what
I
felt.
That was such an easy, big setup, though. That was another one that I'm like...
But I kind of felt that way throughout the whole film. Like, I'm like, I just want... it was relentlessly sad, relentlessly... And there's so much that's going to be written about it. Yes.
Sorry, with the peanut allergy. Gonna nitpick, and I'll probably nitpick more tomorrow. Kid has a peanut allergy. They set it up. Honey, do you have the EpiPen? No, I don't have an EpiPen. If you have a child that is deathly allergic to something... You have that on you, unless you're horrible parents, which, okay, fine, we'll set that up. But no, I'm like, if you've ever, that just feels like lazy or unresearched writing.
Yeah.
So you're just like, oh. Because then it comes back again later, like, do those have nuts in them?
Like, that feels a little on the nose.
It was a little too much of like, I would have rather be like, yes, we have it in the car. Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. They're kind of, they're on it, but not great. Yeah.
I guess.
Things like that are just detracts from. It's like we know it's fake, but it really pulls you out of it.
Yeah, I would in that. I'm glad you had that. My opinion is, I do think it was a horrific film. It wasn't a horror film. It was horrific in that the trauma they were going. It's almost like we're going to revel in this drama and we're going to stick it the knife in you, turn it. And I guess that's a good horror film.
See, Anthony's like, yes, exactly.
But like, it was so painful to watch. And like Anthony said, he was weeping, and I get that. That scene that he's talking about was a powerful scene of the mom weeping for her daughter and the reaction of the son, because the son killed his own sister on accident by driving too close to a pole and taking her head off.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That is just a horrible series of events.
It was. It's not his fault.
Lemony Snicket involved?
Yeah. There's just too many.
That was all planned. The whole decapitate, that was all planned. That was all planned, if you didn't know that.
That's what I was thinking.
You mean he, foreshadowing with the bird?
I think it was planned, because I think...
No, you mean, like, he purposefully did it?
No.
No, as in someone put that animal in the road.
Yeah.
Oh, to drive sure. Him no, but it's still, like... Okay, I have dogs. My windows, if there's a child or dog in the car, those windows are locked.
Child
so
safety.
The fact of, like, oops, I bumped the window down. Oops, I'm out the window. And...
It was, like, a Final Destination.
But yes, I could see that of, like, that was...
Well, I mean, there's a guided entity.
But I do have to say this. Like, the most horrifying scene, besides the head being shot off by her own self,
God.
With the piano, was
The head on the ceiling thing.
Oh, for God's sakes, the head on the ceiling.
No, no, when it's upside down. When she's banging her head on the...
Oh, when Toni Collette is crawling on the ceiling
and she bangs her head on the ceiling to try to open the door.
Yeah.
That was terrifying.
And then the fact that he calls him mommy.
Okay, also I must say though, I don't hate his acting, but his crying sounds comedic.
Oh, when he went, mommy!
Because he goes, like just like that every time
he's
my audience
He's a high school
laughed.
Boy! What do you expect? Okay. He seemed kind of emo. I do have one question, big time spoiler.
Yes.
Did he die when he jumped out of the window? Because I saw a black spirit leaving him and then another light.
You saw a black
him.
Spirit?
Yes, a black ghost left his body as he hit the ground.
Yes. I didn't notice that.
And then the white
like
one
almost
came
like
in.
His soul left, and then another light came in, which is the sister spirit.
I'd go with he's
the
dead. That's spirit. A far drop, and, is it really his sister?
The spirit of his sister who
well,
was the spirit
well,
of
which
the,
wasn't they, really her the whole time.
They do establish that they don't need to be dead to be taken over
that's
by
true.
Payman, because a mother is taken over by Payman.
Yeah, and also then on this one thing, I have to ask anybody who watched it, they're like, that noise by the end is terrifying. I was like, no, I just found it annoying and stupid.
The funniest thing is
like,
Luke, he sent the noise out to me, Carrie, and Anthony.
I replied, I'm like, eye roll. No,
what's the noise?
Not funny. It's the click. The little kid makes that drop noise.
Oh.
And the idea is like it represents who that kid is. And then by the end, someone else makes it. And then you're like,
and what's interesting is like the demon had to be manifest in the body of a man. The grandmother could
now
not.
Now we're getting really specific.
Yeah, the grandmother could not do it. Her daughter could not do it. The little girl could not do it. All three of them were eventually decapitated, and it was given over to the brother to take on the mantle of this man.
Yeah, but I think in the trailer they retcon that he's not actually the brother.
All right, okay, wait. I will say though, I thought he was a weird casting choice because he does look semi-ethnic compared to the parents and the sister.
It was
like,
odd.
Is he actually biologically their child?
I think they were probably maybe insinuating, perhaps
don't
not.
Adopt.
I'm okay
and,
with that.
And just so you know, and Anthony debunked this, a lot of discussion today went into this was just a story about descending into madness, and everything that was happening was not really happening, but it was in the mind of Toni Collette that she was just going crazy, and she did dig up her grandmother, her mother, she did cut off. Anyways,
I don't even feel spoiled. I'm just so confused now.
I feel like the black pus has now been poured over me, and I didn't see this damn movie.
I do feel like I need to give her a hug later.
All right. Yeah.
We'll
let's
all
move on to something super... Okay. Thank you guys for indulging long...
transition. We're going to wipe that off with some makeup wipes and transition to something prettier.
Face off. We are so excited to have some face off professionals in the room tonight.
Professionals.
Yes. So we do have some photographs that we will be running. And if each of you can kind of walk through and tell us what we are seeing when we see them.
That's a mold.
I don't know who this is from. Is this
Jamie's face?
Oh, yeah.
This is Jamie face.
That's the inside of my head.
Oh, fantastic.
Oh, mold. Yeah.
Kind of.
Okay.
Kind of.
That's
another face.
Is that you, Jamie?
Yeah, that was my first appearance, and it was kind of ended up being kind of like a dog soldier type
thing. Cool.
With one eye.
Cyclops. Yeah, the whole...
Was that 10?
Yeah.
Season 10.
Yeah, that challenge was a Cyclops challenge.
Uh-huh. Now, for people who have no idea, because I am also a little curious, how did you first get involved? You're a rather tall person, so I'm wondering, were you picked based on your
I think some of it, maybe. But, I'm kind of on the shorter end of some of the guys that are on there because they're like 6'6", and they're...
You're on the shorter end of tall.
Well,
the standard face-off models, most of them are like 5'10 to maybe 6.
Yeah.
Then you guys kind of...
Yeah, you're right.
How tall are you? Then we're talking like when they have specifically like bigger, larger challenges.
Exactly.
That's when they want like 6'2 to like 7.
Yeah. Yeah, so. For sure. I just auditioned, and when I was a kid, before I got into acting, I was drawn to creatures. I wasn't thinking like De Niro, I did prosthetics. I did makeup and stuff and masks, and then so this kind of brought it full circle. It was really awesome to be a part of the show. And
cool. Who's this guy?
What is this? Yeah.
That was a mad scientist transformation challenge from the lab.
That was from
All-Star.
11, yeah.
Yeah. Which is where I met Kaylin officially, I think.
Oh, real quick, can you guys just explain to our audience exactly what it is? What is your involvement with the show?
Mine was just being a makeup model and actor. Yeah.
I was one of my first jobs out in LA. I was on the AD team. So this was before I even started pursuing any on-camera stuff. And yeah, I worked very closely with the models and with the cast, just keeping the models safe when they were in their full-on makeup, yelling at the cast if they were going to put any...
Here's Keaton and...
Oh, Jamie!
Yeah. That was a gig that... So I knew Keaton from... I mean, I was connected with her, but then we actually met on this, which was a Gears of War 4 tour that they were doing, and so we got suited up by a group called Blue Whale Makeup out of Atlanta. And
which was another Face-Off alum. Yeah. Matt Silva.
Yeah, Matt Silva.
And we're going to go back to your pictures in just 1 second. And then how? Okay.
I was a contestant on season 7 and then 11.
Fantastic.
So got to do the makeups and experience the torture.
Awesome. And we have pictures from all of you guys. If you can go ahead and just walk us through what we're seeing here. This is you as...
This was the transformation.
Okay.
That was, I believe, Ben Plowman and Evan Hedges did those makeups. Yeah. There was a smaller version who was like the first initial transformation, and then you were the final form, I believe, if I'm correct.
Yeah, they paired a lot of the, I guess, smaller actors or models with larger actors because most of the bigger ones were the transformation.
Well, to give you a little behind-the-scenes stuff on how like the models got cast, they had such a huge pool of varied sizes and like looks because some of the challenges called for like the giants, or some of them called for, it was like a fairy challenge. So they needed to have a pool of at least 15 tiny women who look somewhat fairy-like. So it was fair for everybody. And like a challenge like this, they had like guys that I was taller than, and I'm 5'6". So they had like short guys, tall girls, guys.
With that challenge, we ended up, because our initial actor was, or our initial pair of models, the taller one, he had a family emergency. So in middle of challenge, we were given a new set of people. Actually, no, we had the same guy that was our smaller person, and then our larger person was switched out. And so it was, thankfully, like it didn't, because I think our taller actor wasn't African-American and our shorter actor was. So it was thankfully that didn't kind of affect it. Because otherwise it was like, how are we supposed to do...
He changed ethnicity.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was like, thankfully our design didn't have to have any ethnicity come into play. But it was like, initially we're like, oh my God, what do we...
We painted him blue.
We cannot, we can't change races like that. Yeah. That's not PC. Yeah. So. Yeah.
Well, and we always had backup models, literally on hold. Because it was one of my jobs was basically to... all the models know you're booked, making sure they all show up on time and are there, and if an emergency happens, be able to switch somebody out and get somebody there as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
And we just were looking. Wait, can we pull that picture back up, Anthony?
That's me. Yeah. That was at actually Scare LA last year. I did a gentleman from Buffy makeup.
Is that Mitch?
The episode of Hush.
Hush. That is actually another cosplay friend of mine, Ray Bender, who was underneath that.
Fantastic.
So.
And we have a couple more pictures from her, I think.
And this was from season 7. It was we had a Wizard of Oz and Meets Wonderland challenge. We basically had to take a character from the Wizard of Oz and as if they fell down into the rabbit hole. And so we ended up, my partner Rachel Wagner and I ended up with the Tin Woodman, and we decided to make him basically the Queen's executioner.
Oh, that's great.
Very cool.
I love this.
I think there's another one too.
Oh. This is just a barrage of some of my makeups. The one on the far right was our Mad Scientist challenge. He was our initial transformation into a full. We had to take insects and splice them with their DNA. So it's basically kind of a fly homage. Like he's missing an ear, like the Brundle fly. Then in between that was our Bloody Mary challenge from season 7. We had to do our foundation challenges, which were the 2-hour in the lab challenges. And so that was basically compiling whatever prosthetics we could find in the lab and then throw them on a person. And then the far left was my muse from this first episode of season 7, where we had to create either a life character or a death character, and whatever prosthetic was presented in a mystery box. And so that was probably the character I'm most known for from the show.
I just think, because when I Googled today, I just Googled Face Off, that character comes up.
Yeah, right there. She's my most, I would say, most popular character I've gotten to do. And she just
kind of... You won that challenge, right?
I didn't win that challenge. No. That was Dina won that challenge. I was just a top look on that one. But I think it was because I I did a very subtle makeup. Like, Dina literally piped silicone all over her model and, like, threw the kitchen sink at it. So it was a little more applied effort than I think mine
But was. Who was an all-star?
Okay, well, so she did win, though. And, so there's that.
Do we have any other pictures? And what is this?
That is actually Keaton.
Oh, wow.
In a character, an original character of mine called...
Oh, so you did the makeup right here.
Yeah, this is my makeup and Keaton as the model for it. I met her through my partner, Rachel Wagner, at one of the conventions. We weren't ever on any of the same seasons together. No. So what seasons you were...
I did 5 and 6.
Okay, so I
right
just
before,
missed
we just missed each other. But I feel like I've known you forever.
And then this next shot, I don't...
Oh, that's me and Mackenzie. I ran into her at Disneyland.
I saw that. I'm a little jealous, not going to lie.
Yeah, she... and it was cool running into her because she's just as sad. Mackenzie Westmore is the host of Face Off. She's a wonderful person. Michael Westmore, her dad, is...
Such a nice man
and is such a... I mean, their family has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame for their makeup. But she is really sad that Face Off is done.
She's the sweetest person
she
ever.
She is. And I think they're fighting to make it come back.
Yeah. They're working towards it.
And we have a couple more pictures because I do want to talk about that. And what is this?
Oh, that's me. Kat and Nico are two other contestants that were on Face Off. And they did this called the Exo Bride. And they did this on me. This was very shortly after they did their first season on Face Off.
Season 6.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, they did that. They did this makeup on me. It kind of looks like a female predator. They've done this on me like 3 or 4 times. And we were trying to do a short film around this character, but we never got off the ground.
And I think
we can still.
Do we have any other Anthony? Oh, okay. And there's this one.
There's
and I think that's the final one, right, Anthony? I think.
Yeah, I think we should.
So let's talk a little bit about the show, and I know that you might have some questions as well. How did you guys get involved with this? What are your career goals? And then, like, what happened? Why is it this final season?
Well, for me, most of my friends from seasons 1 through 6 had been on it. And so at this point, I was kind of... I had auditioned for it for season 3, but I wasn't interesting looking and didn't have blue hair at the time. So they were a little less interested in me. But I ended up getting cast for season 7, auditioned for it. And, you know, it was always...
With blue hair.
With blue hair, yes.
And eyebrows.
And it was more of a means to, you know, a stepping stone. It was never supposed to be like the be-all, end-all. But it was definitely, I just wanted the opportunity to do that. And at the time, my portfolio had been stolen. I had my house broken into. So I literally had nothing to really show for it. And so doing Face Off was, you know, here's all the money in you know, the world to make these characters for yourself. So I literally looked at it as kind of a means to get a portfolio. But it was also, you know, I just wanted to see if I could, basically. And then when they called me back up for season 11, it was like, okay, yep, sign me up.
Nice.
I'm a glutton for punishment.
And I dropped her off.
Yep, he did. Yeah. He dropped
how
me off.
Do you guys know each other?
Through the con community.
Yeah, we met through con and cosplay stuff. Yeah, we met at Kamikaze a few years ago.
I was dressed as the hag from Snow White. I didn't tell anybody I was showing up. Wore full face prosthetics and ended up bumping into him and his now fiance. And, you know, in full, like, hello there, like, creep.
And there's also another connection here as well. You were just telling us for the show.
Oh, yeah. She's one of the bridesmaids in our wedding, and her boyfriend is one of my groomsmen, so.
That's great.
Yeah.
Oh,
circle.
All right, and what about you guys?
Do you want to go?
Shh, ladies first.
Okay, so I, my first job out of college was on the TV show Survivor, and, moved to LA because Jeff Probst, the host, asked me to work on his talk show. That show didn't get picked up for another season. There was no spot for me to go back to Survivor. And the AD who had used to be on Survivor called me and said, come work on my team. I'm working on this really awesome show called Face Off. And I had seen it. I love special effects makeup. I have so much respect for them. And I was like, oh my God, to be on an AD. And I used to want to be an AD. Like, that's kind of like the path I wanted in this industry.
For those who don't know what that is.
It's an assistant director, which is basically like you make sure everybody's on time. Everybody, you know, gets checked in, gets checked out. Everybody, you know, gets their hours. Mm-hmm. Everybody breaks for lunch at the right time. Like,
they keep the clock in the schedule.
Yeah, we keep the clock. Yeah. And then, you know, I was not the first AD. I was like the fourth AD because I was like the newbie. But I basically took care of like the contestants and
those were usually my
the
favorite
models.
People. Yeah, we had the most interaction with them on the show, probably.
I was like first one on first one on set, last one to leave type of thing. That's kind of the my longest day ever on set was 21 hours, and it was on Face Off, a finale.
Oh yeah, the finales lasted forever.
Finale.
But it was also Face Off, that it was Mary on Face Off who told me, Mary, what are you doing working behind the camera? You need to go be in front of it. And she was the one who encouraged me to leave the AD world and she is the best. So yeah, I have made so many wonderful friends from Face Off. So
love you, girls.
What about you,
Jamie? I auditioned for it and, I had to do like a zombie walk or something like that. And, I kind of knew it was the show, but the audition notice was pretty vague, and so I got it. And then all of a sudden they were fitting me for sclera lenses, and like I said, it was a really cool thing for me because I kind of went the way of acting and got away from makeup, as a small kid. And so to be able to kind of come back around and do creature stuff, and which that kind of helped me get launched in that direction. I mean, I consider myself an actor, but I love the creature side of it. Mm-hmm. And it's a great skill set, and it's awesome. And, there's so many talents out there. So for me to be able to kind of, like, still kind of be in that realm a little bit has been really fun. And, started doing convention stuff and then started doing more auditions for creature roles.
I think I bumped into you because we had kind of lost connection. Then I bumped into you at a convention. You were Frankenstein.
Yeah. It was Midsommar.
Midsommar, last year.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah, so... Yeah, and so, I had a great experience on it.
Cool. What? So,
I have some questions.
Go ahead.
I have answers.
So, like, what was it that's, like, that you saw, like, growing up or something, and it's like, I'm doing what I'm doing now because of this? Like, what is that thing you're such a big fan of or that you liked that kind of, like, led you all to kind of what you're doing?
Well, I actually started out in musical theater first. I was a big, like, Wizard of Oz and, like, musicals. Judy Garland was and is an inspiration. Happy birthday yesterday.
Wow.
And from that, I, decided to do makeup in, doing theater classes. And, that was part of our requirements as a theater major. And, kind of slowly rediscovered how much I liked doing makeup. But then, if I backtracked going... a couple years, like Buffy the Vampire Slayer was like, I grew up wanting to be the Slayer. Like that was, just a strong, powerful, like female, like figure to look up to. And then like I had, I was, my mom would say obsessed with it. So I had, every book that you could and like going through it, I would see pictures of people doing these creatures. And I'm like, wait, that's a job? Like you can make monsters. So that was kind of, now my like musical theater and my horror and like it kind of mashed and created like my style basically. So that's
nice.
Yeah,
it's kind of like a dream job. So many people don't realize this is a job that you can do.
Yeah.
Making monsters for a living.
Yeah, it's I anytime I'm on a set and it gets a little too serious, I'm like, we're making rubber monsters for a living. it's so much fun. So.
Yeah. Did you guys have any kind of inspiration?
Yeah, I mean, I was. And like obviously into film growing up, and I loved my kind of interest into film came from like loving history and being able to feel like I could get more introduced to history by watching a movie like that took place in that time period. And I was such a chicken growing up. My brother loved things like Are You Afraid of the Dark, So Weird, like these things. And I was so scared of them, but then I'd still watch them and torture myself. And when I started discovering kind of working behind the scenes of horror films or being the creature myself and getting to be the one who gets to scare people rather than the one that's being scared, I felt like I kind of had control of it. So that's kind of why I, as soon as I could start like being turned into monsters and stuff, it was so much fun for me. And also, like, I have a very, like, kind of girl next door, like, I get very pigeonholed very quickly. So when I can do a creature or something and not look like myself, it's so freeing as an actor. And it's just so much more fun than being, like, the damsel in distress.
I will say, as a makeup artist, turning really pretty girls really ugly is really fun.
So. We are getting down to our last minute or two here of the show, so... Jamie, what about you?
I think, all of it for me. I mean, seeing creatures, that was like, oh, my God, how do they do that? My mom watched, like, all the Universal horror movies. So you know, like Bela Lugosi, he was an icon to me as a kid, even though I didn't know what that word was. And then, you know, kind of getting more into the acting and learning about people like Lon Chaney, who totally transformed themselves. And to me, that's what an actor does, whether you use makeup or not. But the makeup part's really fun, you know, to be – I mean, you can't – it's hard to not be – you know, change your body when you when you've got a pretty cool makeup on and a pretty cool costume. It's almost like, what, you know, how could you not act that? You know,
plus, what's on your knee right now? What are you wearing?
This
man?
This is a Michael Myers mask by Trick or Treat Studios.
Yes,
and one of the good ones. And yeah, and I just thought it would be appropriate. I don't know why for the show.
It seemed like it might be an inspiration.
Yeah. Question for everyone who's been in prosthetics and then done the prosthetics: favorite costume look that you have worn, and the one that was the most difficult.
And this is our final question.
Okay. I've done both. I've worn probably as many makeups as I've applied. So I would say my favorite I've done as like performing in and wearing it was I did a female Voldemort. That was a pretty big crowd pleaser. And then to actually do it, I would say, like, to this day, probably the one I did in Keaton, the gold character, is my favorite makeup I've done. So
awesome.
And most difficult?
That one was pretty difficult. I did that over the course of a week. Mm. And at that point, both David Bowie and Alan Rickman had passed away, so it was very emotionally hard makeup to get through, which is why I named it the Lady Lazarus after the fact. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that was hard.
I did a 7-hour application one time on me, and I had to stand for a good part of it, and I was basically naked. Loved the makeup when it was done.
Poison Ivy.
Loved the makeup when it was done, but it was very exhausting. And I have so much props for Jennifer Lawrence, who did the Mystique makeup, because I know that's like the process she had to go through, is like 6-hour makeup and 6 hours in the makeup chair basically, and then go to set for another 12. That Exo Bride that you saw, that was all L200, and it did not breathe. So as soon as that thing went on, I was just pure sweat, and I could not go to the bathroom.
Sexy.
But, yeah, right? yeah, Nico and I got really close because he would have to take it off and I would just be dripping sweat in the back. But one of my favorite makeups, honestly, is that gold one too, because it looks so cool, but it was so I could see. I didn't have to wear contacts.
Yeah.
I could move in my costume, and we did like a lot of cool, fun like video stuff, which was really cool to kind of get into the character.
Awesome.
The one of my most fun was probably just a blue demon that I kind of monikered the Ice Demon. It just had a cool look, and I could see, and I could breathe. And those are like, that kind of helps make it, you know, one of
I'm
the
so
nicer
proud
ones.
Of my
and no glitter.
These are qualifiers.
No glitter is like.
Yeah.
I've only blind, not like actually permanently blinded, but I've only blinded one performer.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Not permanently, like just in the makeup. Like they couldn't see. They had to be led, but like that, you know.
Yeah.
And just most one. Difficult.
Most difficult was when I couldn't see or hear for about 10 or 11 hours. Like I'm pretty good with prosthetics, but after a while I just was like I want this off. And
did someone hold your hand? And
like, they literally they guided me around, and after a while it was just I just felt like I was inside of a shell.
I had a 4-hour stint of that, so I it's not fun. After a certain point you'll just be like, I'm like not okay.
How do you guys go like 10 hours without using the bathroom?
You monitor what you're drinking, and if you have like
you
if you're sweating too, like you're getting rid of it like that, but you just kind of have to. It was this weird thing. I was like only a couple sips of coconut water, so I didn't get really dehydrated, but at the same time. But funny, this is really quick, random story. My very first time on Face Off for one of the final, the reveal stage, which is a much longer day. First day, one of the models comes up to me. She goes, I have to go to the bathroom. I was like, oh, okay, let's go to the bathroom, because it was always, you know, my job to monitor them. We go to the bathroom and she goes, she has these super long nails, and she goes, I don't think I can pull down my pants. I go, what? And she goes, I need your help. So I literally had to go into the bathroom with this girl and pull down her pants, and be like, okay, are you done?
Jamie, pull the mask, please. Anyone ever had to help?
No, but I did have to do like this.
Okay.
I've had to help a lot, actually.
Your
yeah, I've definitely. I've gotten real close with models before.
I usually help Luke go to the bathroom, but that's just a personal thing.
Thank you so much, everybody, for watching the Scare Guy show this week. I do have a last question as we end. Is your Face Off is such a great show. Is there any hope of it being on somewhere else? Or?
Well, I, as far as I know, there is a petition to keep it going. I don't. If you just Google Face Off petition, you'll probably find it.
We'll put it on our website as well. Face Off petition. Make sure
Netflix.
You guys go.
I think it's they're at 10,000 signatures at the moment. I think the hope is probably to get it to either another network, maybe Sci-Fi. We'll see with the response.
Because Sci-Fi is all about the fan experience now. So you think,
and also tweet every time. Like I know they're doing a lot of live tweeting during the show. Like just live tweet like hashtag Face Off, like hashtag say Face Off. That's kind of the way to do it.
All right, and I'm sure you guys will be very active online getting that. Yes.
Can I announce something real quick?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Just real quick. I'm going to be at E3. Kaylin's going to
be
there.
I will be at E3 as well.
I'm going to be a zombie for The Walking Dead.
Oh, nice. Fantastic.
Yeah. I'll be working with God of War doing some makeups for
Sweet.
Them.
Sweet. So. Well, tell you what, as we end the show, we are ending the show right this second. I will allow all of you guys and encourage you guys. Tell us, Keaton, Jamie, and Kaylin, where can we find you guys?
You guys can find me all over the interwebs at Keaton Markey. It's just my name.
I am Average Jam.
And where can we find you guys?
On Instagram.
Oh, on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Yeah.
Any appearances?
Oh,
E3?
Coming up.
Yes, E3. Cool.
I'm at Red Tailed Design on Instagram. You can also just Google my name, Kaylin Ashley. I'm the only one. And also, all you will be at E3 this week. And then check out Sinister Creature Con if you're in the Sacramento area. I will be there all weekend doing a new original character and then also teaching a class. So check out my Instagram or redtaileddesign.com and sign up for the class. So. All right,
Carrie.
And yeah, my name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online, Twitter, Instagram, Carrie D Lane. That's KARIDLANE. And nothing horror just yet, but Anime Expo and Comic Con.
Mm-hmm. Sweet.
I'm Ben Cleaver. You can find me all over the interwebs at BENKLIEWER, or just search the hashtag BK421. And anything I got coming up right now, not at the moment, I don't think. I've got other con-related stuff, but I'll do that on the next show.
Sounds I'll be good. At Comic-Con, too.
Awesome. Cheese on the Couch.
I'm Cheeseman on the Couch. You can find me on thescareguy.com and on Twitter at Cheese on Couch.
And I am Jim. I'm the managing editor here. You can find me at Con Guy Jim. You will also be able to find The Scare Guy at Scare LA coming up in August. So we'll see you guys there. And any kind of scary stuff you guys know about, let us know. We would love to talk about it. Also, let us know what kind of guests you'd like to see on the show. I really am thankful for you guys tonight. You guys gave us a great show.
This is
so great.
Yeah.
We can't wait to talk to you guys again. All right. You guys, we'll talk to you soon. Next week is all going to be about the Con Guy. So see you guys soon. Bye-bye.
Sweet.
Bye.
Actually, we'll take next week off.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.